Item one is a rezoning at 443 Spence Street under file DAZ-215 of 2012. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following items will also be heard at the same time. Item two, a conditional use at 443 Spence Street under file DCU-125424 of 2012-D, and item three, a variance at 443 Spence Street under file DAV-125379-2012-D. And I have a number of people registered in support, in opposition, and for information.
All right, so this is how we get ready.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, I didn't see the applicant.
If the applicant is here, please, okay. They'll start off, if they wouldn't mind starting off, coming on down. And I'll get her name.
Yeah.
I just need to know your name just for...
Diane.
Diane?
Diane Rusin.
You got it in there?
I don't know. I'll look for it.
Okay,
I'll
look for it.
Listen. Yeah.
And then afterwards, after Diane has finished her presentation, we will allow the opportunity for people in support of the application to come forward as well. It is your right to come forward, but don't feel that you must. If you've already heard, listen quite intensely, so we will hear it. But if you want to come down, you may. But if it's already been mentioned, you may just want to say, I support, and that's enough. Okay? Super. Good. Go ahead.
So I wanted to distribute some copies of our the floor plan here, so we have a sense of what we're talking about. So good evening. My name is Diane Rusin, and I'm the executive director at the Mama Wichita Center. And I'd like to again thank City Council for the opportunity to present about our organization and about the work that we're doing at 443 Spence, as well as in various other locations in Winnipeg. I think what I want to sort of focus on is sort of how Mama We came to be and why we do some of the work we do. And as some of you may know, the Mama Wichita Center was formed in 1984, and it was formed as a result of things that were happening within the child welfare system, and so needing an Aboriginal response and an Aboriginal effort to figure out how we're going to look after our kids and to reclaim that responsibility to look after our kids. And so that's what led to the formation. And I think we've tried to really focus on, since that time until today, we're trying to focus on how it is that we could support the Aboriginal community to build their capacity to participate as healthy and productive members of society. So like many other organizations, we are definitely here to support and serve the Aboriginal community and to work with the broader community in making sure that there's opportunities for all citizens to participate in Winnipeg. The three levels of government, along with numerous reports and many other citizens, recognize that the situation that we're in and our potential, and we want to say that Aboriginal people represent about roughly 10% of our population, yet when you look at other socioeconomic indicators, the Aboriginal population does present fairly highly in a lot of those other sort of low socioeconomic indicators. So there's much work that is to be done, and Mamawi remains committed to doing that work. Way back in, I think, the mid-90s, you know, we had set ourselves up on Broadway, and we were delivering service out of Broadway. And at that time, we decided to engage in a very extensive community consultation process to guide the work of us moving forward at that time. And really, there are four main points that came out of that consultation process, or maybe to back up. You know, we talked to people who lived in neighborhoods. We talked to families that were using our service at the time. We talked to families that weren't using our service at the time. We were talking to sister organizations, and you know, really just did a very extensive over a period of months community consultation to get the direction. And the four pillars of direction that we got were, A, to be community-based, and so we needed to be in the neighborhoods where families resided. Number two, that we needed to look at ways that the community could be involved with us in a positive way. And three, that we needed to do work that would build the capacity of the community. And number four, to provide opportunities for leadership and for community voice, and particularly the Aboriginal community's voice in all matters that pertain to Winnipeg. And so we take those four directions very seriously. When we talk about community capacity, we're talking about building the skills of the Aboriginal community. And, you know, we know that we lived in mixed neighborhoods and there's blended families and there's all kinds of different configurations out there. And so we're about building strong families. We're about building skills in those families. And so I think that the 443 Spence, as well as all our other locations, really trying to really work to provide opportunities for people to build their skills. And so when people have very strong skills, they are able to enter into the workforce, they're able to participate in employment opportunities, and actually Mamawi itself does hire from our strong community base, since our volunteer base. So we actually provide a lot of employment for a lot of people that might not otherwise have opportunity to be employed. We also really opened up our organization to provide opportunities for people to participate in society in ways that they might not be able to participate. So, you know, people come to Mamawi if they have an issue, if they have a concern, they have a problem, and we will help people to work through those problems. But mostly people come to our organization because they want to participate. And it's our job to find opportunities for people to participate based on their strengths. And you'll see that, and you'll see many of our community volunteers up in the audience tonight. And, you know, they really, the community volunteers are what make Mamawi hum. They are what bring our organizations to life. And because we're situated in neighborhoods, it's people within those neighborhoods that are really bringing our locations to life. The other piece I'll touch on is about the leadership opportunities. And, you know, Mamawi really does understand that folks that would normally be marginalized don't often get a voice in many of the decisions that are made for them and around them. And so I think that the Mamawi Wichita Center does a really good job of supporting that community voice. And again, you'll see that within our sites, because we do take direction from the community in our day-to-day operations. And so programs that we run are directed by the community, and we get that input every day. Also, there are three, we have a 13-person board of directors, and we do elect our board from our community membership. And so there are three people who actually live in the Spence area who are on Mamawi's board of directors, and so give direction to the organization at that level as well. As 443 Spence, we do pay a business levy, and so we are contributing to the economic life of the neighborhood. We do as much as we can to help build a stable and healthy neighborhood. And so we work with lots of our partner organizations to address issues that come up and concerns, including the ones that are directed strictly at the 443 Spence site. We, as those issues come up and as those concerns come up, we do try to work actively with the neighborhood to try to address those concerns. And I think through various reports that you have received, you'll see the specific actions that we have taken. So I think maybe how we got to today, and I don't know if I see a timer, but let me know when the time's up. We've had our presence in the West End for over 10 years. And again, when we were all working out of Broadway, we did scout locations about where it is we needed to be situated. And actually, the West End is one of the first locations that we moved into. So Mamawi's been in the neighborhood for 10 years. Most of this time we were renting, and we decided about 5 years ago that we needed to build our capacity and turn into a owner versus a renter. And so we did actually purchase the building that we're in now and have invested significantly into that building to get it renovated and up to into the kind of facility that it is today. And that's what I had handed out to you, was the floor plan, so you could have a sense of what the site looks like from the floor plans. And we had worked with the University of Winnipeg to obtain that location and to build it into the vibrant location that it is right now. So let's see here. We feel that we've been pretty accepted from many within the neighborhood. We do recognize that there are some folks who don't support either us being at that particular location or maybe us as an organization. And like I said, we do try to work with everyone and address whatever concerns come up. And so we do certainly do our best to do that. We have assisted many families. We do keep our stats. And so we probably are averaging on an annual basis, about 5,000 folks who are coming to us, or 5,000 visits, to address whatever needs families are coming up with. Now, I know that there was some issue about the traffic and the level of traffic, but we, from our stats, we figured that there's about 19 people per day that are coming for help, and we believe that there's about maybe 20 people per group, which would be on a daily basis. So we think we're averaging about 50 people a day, give or take. I mean, that wouldn't be that every single day, but give or take. Because our office hours are, service hours are primarily Monday to Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. We do run some stuff on the week, evenings and weekends from time to time. So I think maybe what I would like to maybe wrap up by saying is that we do have, we did also try to get a gauge from the neighborhood about how many folks we thought would be supportive of Mumwee operating in that place, and we did get a survey of about 92 signatures from folks who lived in the immediate area. We did get 9 letters of support from our sister organizations, and I think those were all listed in the package there. We did a little bit of analysis of the Spence Street itself, and and it's a very interesting analysis. We noticed that there are about 62 houses on the street. We feel that we've noticed that there's about 14 owners of property that don't reside in the area, and we assume that those are our rental properties. We know that there are about 6 owners that have 3 or more properties, and that the remaining, we have 14 owners, 6 of them have 3 or more properties, and the rest of them remain, or most of these are rental or rooming houses. And from what we can tell, probably half of the properties are rooming houses or student housing, and the remaining are rental properties. So we noticed that there's also some C2, some business properties. We know that there are apartments that have business licenses. There are rooming house licenses. We're not sure if the rooming houses are licensed businesses. We know that there are some incorporated businesses that rent have rental units to students on the block. We think that there's about 74% of the properties are revenue generating enterprises. So it's very vibrant on the street. There's lots of activity going on the street. And according to the Winnipeg Assessment Property Database, which is the city's database, that there's about 95% of the properties on Spence Street have commercial influences, which is, again, a designation that the city gives. And so I know that some folks have felt that perhaps, as an organization, that there was an over-commercialization happening on the street, but we're one of many. And so knowing that the street has about 95% of a commercial influence is, we feel that we're one of that number, and so we can't attribute to the whole thing. And again, I just want to reiterate that we are always willing to engage in the ongoing and long-term dialogue to seek solutions in a respectful manner and constructive manner. We feel that we are engaging with a part of the neighborhood that might not often get heard, and so we really do take seriously the direction that we do get from the folks who are coming through our doors and who are telling us how to be and what to do and what we need to be doing, and we do that as best as we can. We are very happy in the West End. We're happy to be productive and contributing members of the neighborhood, and we'll continue to do that. And we'd just like to thank you for the opportunity to come here tonight and to speak. And if there's any other questions, I would be happy to try and answer those. And if not, I will, I think you said there's an opportunity at the end to potentially speak if needed.
Okay.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Just to clarify, you'll have an opportunity to come back as the applicant at the end, not to add new information, just to respond to some information that you received from the
thank
end
you.
Of there. Anybody have any questions before you depart, Councillor Smith?
There's a fair amount of opposition. Did you really consult with the neighborhood? Did you have a meeting? What consultation took place? I gather from the Spence Neighborhood Association letter that consultation did not take place.
The more recent conversations, this is a rezoning application, right? So we had done this in 2008. And so we had some discussions with various members of the community I know that more recently the Spence Neighborhood Association has said that the larger community consultation didn't happen, and we didn't do that in 2008, and so they've asked for us to do that again, and we are currently in the process of trying to organize that. So there's been a couple of meetings with some of the folks who are more actively opposed to the Mount Wichita Centre, so we've met with them. We've listened to concerns. We're in the process. I mean, due to the timing of this meeting, we weren't able to have the larger consultation, but I know that the staff of the 443 Spence location are trying to work with Spence Neighborhood Association to organize the larger community consultation.
The consultation should have taken place before this meeting, not after.
Some smaller consultations, not a large community consultation. There have been meetings that have occurred.
And my second question, why do you really need the rezoning?
In order to operate at our site, the current zoning is not, I guess, legal.
What are you doing that doesn't, that cannot be done with the current zoning?
Probably be a more technical question for the planners.
We'll give that answer for you from the administration.
Okay.
Yeah, we do have to be zoned differently to continue to operate there.
You want to answer that right now? Please, yeah.
Okay, so we have to 2008. There was a rezoning application for this property. The property was rezoned. It was approved by council. Applicants have 2 years to execute the rezoning, and what that means is you have to pay administrative fees to the City of Winnipeg, and if there's a zoning agreement, you have to register the zoning agreement with Winnipeg Land Titles Office. And then it goes back to council for third reading. If an applicant doesn't do those things within 24 months, the rezoning approval lapses, it's terminated, and you have to start over again. And that's essentially what happened in this case. There may have been some miscommunication between Mamawi and their architects at the time, but for whatever reason, they never paid their fees and did their due diligence, and the rezoning lapsed. And that's why they have to apply to start all over again, essentially.
What? I need a better idea of what you're going to be doing there. Yeah.
So it's one of our community care sites, and so we are open to the public. We will provide a number of different kinds of programs that the community asks us to run, and it can be that is determined by the neighborhood itself, but it can be like parenting programs, it can be our Spirit of Peace program, which deals with the whole issue of family violence and trying to stop family violence. In our some of our other sites, it can be like a jigging club, it can be a powwow club. It depends, well, I guess in this situation it wouldn't be a powwow club because the facility can't host that, but we do take direction from the community to run structured, scheduled programs. We also run like a drop-in area. And so people can come in, they can have coffee, they can speak to someone if they need to speak to someone, they can come to volunteer. Really, most of our sites are very strongly volunteer-driven. So there's a lot of community volunteers there on a daily basis that are taking care of, you know, the other families that will come in. What else do we do there? I think that's the big chunk of it is our drop-in space and the like, community resource center kind of work and our structured programs.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to be calling out names and batches from about 5 to 10. Again, I must stress, for time's sake, if you've heard it, please, you can just raise your hand and say, I'm here. Or you can head on down and just line up at the bench and we'll go from there. So, Michael Kershane, do you want to say you're in support or do you want to speak? Okay, thank you. Mary Hobson? Oh, sorry, Marcy Hobson. In support? Thank you. Wade Johnson?
Support.
Thank you. Wallace Whitcroft?
Support.
Thank you. Jeffrey Auger? Thank you. Craig Johnson?
I support.
All right. Chantel Harper and Shanine Harper?
Yeah. Yep.
I think it's Alden Weeb and Charlene Cloudhawk, I think.
In support.
In support? Yeah. Thank you. Karen Millings? Thank you. Dwayne Glado? Thank you. And if, of course, you can speak if you like. Are we tripping lady? Renee H. Cote? Thank you. Carolyn Carpenter? Adeline Boehm? Thank you. Dalia Boehm? Thank you. Joan Hay? Pat Desare?
Thank you.
Jennifer Rattray? And let's speak. Come on down. Thank you. Well, let's keep going through the list while we're... Amanda McKay? Bonnie Thompson? Mary Big Sky? Larry Wuchern, I think it says. Wuchern? Thank you. Leonard Creeley? David Bratfield? Okay. Jennifer, go right ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to thank each of you councillors for an opportunity to speak to this issue. My name is Jennifer Rattray, and I'm Associate Vice President of Indigenous Government and Community Affairs for the University of Winnipeg. I'm just here to state, and I will be brief, that the University of Winnipeg is in full support of the rezoning. We were in full support in 2008, and unfortunately there were some glitches, but we're still in full support. The University of Winnipeg sold four homes between 2008 and 2011 on Spence Street that had been housing for students at the University of Winnipeg when we built some larger scale facility than McPheeters Hall. We no longer needed these four, and so we worked with community to sell these four homes. Three of them were sold about the same time. One of them was the Mumaway house, or the house that we sold to Mumaway, and the other two were sold to an individual private person for their purposes. No issues were brought to our attention at that time in 2008. I was at the university at that time, and issues were not raised then. There was not community concern at that time, and Mumaway did do work at that time back in 2008 to meet and greet neighbors, potential neighbors, to talk to people and to see what the response was. The neighborhood, as you will know, is about 40% Aboriginal, and there aren't a lot of services in the neighborhood specifically for Aboriginal peoples. So we were very supportive, and the response from the community was at that time very supportive for a place where Aboriginal peoples in the neighborhood could go to provide support or to receive support that they might need to volunteer, etc. So we really feel that Mumaway brings great benefit to the community and brings great benefit to our neighborhood, and that a lot of the work that the University of Winnipeg is doing in terms of reaching out and engaging with many diverse populations in the neighborhood, but specifically I'll reference at this point Aboriginal communities and Aboriginal peoples, is really enhanced by the work that Mumaway does and the work that sometimes that we're able to do together. So I'll just say that it is a very diverse neighborhood, and that we really believe that Mumaway brings benefit. So I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any specific questions dating back to 2008 or the process leading up to that. I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions? We're good?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time. All right. Ashley Ray. Trish Paulinchkin. Thank you. John Hutton? Speak. Come on down. Thank you. David West? Support. Beming, I think it says Linksley?
I support.
Thank you. Gary, I think it says Yan Yu. Yan Yu, I think. Okay. Support. You're in opposition? Oh, you are. Sorry, you're in the wrong pile. Thank you. I've moved on to my new pile. We'll call you in a moment.
That's that pile. So this is this pile. You mixed up. Oh, wait. And support. Just one sec. Let me make sure I got all the right pieces here. Support. You should be over there, over there, and over there. Marilyn Asawi. Support.
Shane Mason, support. And then Cassandra Hula. Okay. Is there anybody else at this point that is in support and hasn't had their name called? If there is, please make sure you fill out a form at the front. And John, I believe. Go right ahead.
I brought copies of my speaking notes. Would you like a copy now? My father was an Anglican priest. He said, you always prepare people. You tell them what you're going to say. You say it, and then you tell them what you've said. My name is John Hutton. Good evening, Councillor Smith, Councillor Gerbasi, Councillor Orlico. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm here on behalf of the John Howard Society of Manitoba, where I'm the executive director, and I'm appearing in support of the application by Mama Wichita's Community Center at 443 Spence Street. The John Howard Society, my agency, is a strong supporter of the work that Mama Way does with low-income families living in the Spence neighborhood who seek and receive services from the center at 443 Spence on a regular basis. We see that program as a very valuable asset to the community, which would be lost if the zoning was not continued. The John Howard Society has been a part of the Spence neighborhood for over 20 years when we bought our current building at 583 Alice Avenue. During this time, we've rented space in the building to other community organizations such as Mediation Services, the West Central Women's Resource Center, the Daniel McIntyre St. Matthews Community Association. While we've recently grown in size and now occupy most of the building, we still host Social Skills, Mosaic, and the West Central Neighborhood Immigrant Settlement Worker. Helping other agencies service this neighborhood has always been part of our mission. We do not want to simply exist in the neighborhood. We want to be an active member of this community. And we do this through our programs and services as well. We're a street-level organization that offers literacy and reintegration services, primarily to men coming out of jail or prison, along with classes in anger management, parenting, and entrepreneurial training, both in the community and in various correctional facilities. We also operate the Restorative Resolutions community-based sentencing program, along with our new bail assessment, supervision, and support program. While our clients may come from any part of the city or the province, a large number of the drop-in clients we serve live and reside in the immediate neighborhood. I'd like to make two points on behalf of Mama Way. Firstly, I have heard it said that groups like Mama Way attract low-income and marginalized residents to a neighborhood, and that if the agency went away, so would the clients. This is completely a false assumption. Social service agencies like Mama Way move in because this is where the clients are and not vice versa. And if Mama Way ceased operations, there would be more, not fewer, struggling families here in the Spence neighborhood because those families would no longer have the valuable support Mama Way offers. Services like this are a community builder, helping to stabilize those families who are the weakest so they can make a stronger contribution to the community where they live in future. I think the fact that the Spence neighborhood has become more attractive to homeowners in the last few years is in large part due to the work of a number of social service agencies such as Mama Way, which helps individuals and families become more stable, leading to a stronger and safer community. But stability is a fragile thing in an inner city neighborhood, and it would be foolish to assume that a group like Mama Way and the services they provide are no longer needed and can be dispensed with. My second point is that everyone's needs matter. The John Howard Society works with people who've been pushed to the margins, who are made to feel like they don't belong, or that their needs don't matter. We work hard with a number of other agencies in the neighborhood, including, and I should say especially, Momaway, to make our clients feel included and that they do matter, because with inclusion comes a sense of responsibility to other members of the community and to oneself. I know that Momaway promotes this sense of inclusion and encourages its clients to feel responsible for themselves and their community. This contributes to neighborhood building. Let this community building continue and continue the C1 zoning for 443 Spence. Thank you.
Seeing none, thank you very much. Okay, we'll see no more people in support of the application. We will move on to those in opposition. Now, is there anybody, sometimes community groups have a specific person that will speak if I see movement? No. If there isn't, I'll just call the names out. Again, same rules apply. You're more than welcome to speak if you wish. So I'll start at the top of my list. Sean Murphy and Dana Linton. Opposition? Okay. Gary? Yanyu? Opposition? Ryan Herdman? Hi. Speak. Come on down, please. Thank you. Maggie Friesen? Speak. You can come on down as well. It's a little seat in our in bench waiting. Travis Unger? Perfect. Richard Kathler? You speak as well? Okay, come on down. And why not? We have one last. Iris? You speak as well? Okay. The bench is quite long. We're good? Okay, go right ahead. As we're coming down, we can start.
Hello, sorry. Yes, Ryan Herdman.
And your address for our record, please.
Yes, hello, my name is Ryan Herdman. I'm a proud homeowner on 490 Spence Street. Pardon me, a little nervous here. But I'm here today to speak on opposition to rezoning of 443 Spence Street from residential to commercial. While I support the organization that is applying to rezone the location, I object to the rezoning of the property. In a neighborhood that is struggling to revitalize and that is surrounded by many commercial streets, the encroachment of commercial into residential areas has several negative implications. Okay. This neighborhood is surrounded by commercial on Ellis, Sargent, Balmoral, Portage, Sherbrooke, Maryland, and Notre Dame. But I would like to make 3 points. First, the rezoning of residential property to commercial on a residential street contributes to a reduction of residential housing. This is crucial since good quality housing is in high demand in the neighborhood. The conversion of a good quality residential property for commercial use reduces housing stock and detracts from the work of Spence Neighborhood Association and Neighborhoods Alive to promote the redevelopment and building of homes for residential use in the area. Second, the encroachment of commercial onto residential streets contributes to a decline in residents, homeowners, or renters, and thus detracts from the development of a sense of community. This is crucial for neighborhood revitalization and safety. When residential homes are replaced by commercial businesses or nonprofit organizations, there are fewer neighbors in their homes in the evening, creating a dangerous zone or gap on the block. Further, there are fewer neighbors to develop and build connections and community with, which enhances the neighborhood and sense of community as a whole. And this is why I guess they close down at 5, and it's a dead space after that in the evening and on the weekends. My third point, the rezoning will set a precedent for other organizations of businesses looking to establish on residential streets. Because this house has been given previous permission to rezone in 2008 to commercial, there has been two other nonprofit agencies that have expressed interest in converting houses for commercial use on this very same block. Also, Also, an example of commercial creep can be found in the previous report from the Planning, Property, and Development Department report to the City Center community in regards to this very house. This was done in 2008. The report stated in regard to compatibility with the existing neighborhood, the potential for adverse impacts on the parcel immediately south of the subject land is low, given that it is a non-accessory surface parking lot. Now, making one parcel of land commercial, the parking lot, seems to make it okay for the next parcel to go commercial. But where was this end? And every time it happens, it is at the expense of housing people, people that look out for their neighbors and make a neighborhood strong and healthy and safe. Also, I see in the newest city planning report that it states it is compatible in that it is not occupying an existing commercial building on Ellis Avenue. It states, which would clearly not be supported by the West End biz. I'm not sure where this came from. I guess it was a city planner stating this, but I don't think they should speak for the West End biz. And I don't think you would have to rezone on a commercial street. Finally, I moved there in 2008 when this just happened, and I never heard about any public hearing at that time. The neighborhood felt steamrolled, and I feel frustrated that an agency can just move in like this and get very many letters of support from other agencies. And a lot of these are staffed by people who do not live in the area, and they think they know what's best for the area. But I'm a believer in the area, and I'd like to see more homes built. I've been part of the housing committee for Spence Neighborhood Association for quite a while now, and they have built many infill houses in the area, which has helped turn this neighborhood around. And there's lots of city money into these houses, but there's still a long way to go. And I feel it's like a kick in the gut every time a house disappears for another reason other than housing. And it's, frustrating. Thank you.
No, seeing none, thank you. Whoever else would like to be next? Just give us your name when you come on up for the record.
Hi, I'm Maggie Friesen. I live in the neighborhood. I don't live on Spence. I live on the next street. I've been there for 35 years, and I can tell you what's been happening. I'm also a realtor, and I have been past president of the Spence Neighborhood Association. I'm also on the housing committee for the Spence Neighborhood Association now. From the point of view of a resident, as Ryan mentioned, the more services you have in the area, the less people actually live there. We're vastly short supplied for residential places to live, be it rental or single family. Numerous people have moved in as a single family. They have bought their homes, they have worked at fixing these homes up, and they would like to see that grow. We would like to have more residential places as opposed to the organizations or C1. C1, of course, does not mean that it's going to be Mamawi permanently. C1 means it can also change down the line. Okay, so when it does change, it could be a business that needs lots of parking. If anybody's ever tried to park on Spence or Yonge Street, they will know that's impossible. So it affects the residents, it affects the price of homes. I know that people do not, if somebody wants to buy a home to live there, they are concerned if it's a C1 zoning next door, because C1 seems to creep, seem to get more and more of them. On the other hand, the city charges more for taxes if you're next to a C1, because they expect them more to creep. So it's harder to market a home in the area as something that somebody wants to live there if there is commercial. The other thing is, when I started with Spence Neighborhood Association 10 years ago, the whole point and purpose was housing was one of the big things we wanted to have. We wanted to increase the number of home ownership people. We wanted to have less density because there was just everything was more and more people, and we wanted to have fewer, so we would have more neighborhoods. We also had at one time made a ruling within the committee level, on the committee level, that the avenues should remain commercial and the streets should remain residential. And as Ryan said, the residential area, and yes, rooming houses are residential, and duplexes are residential. People live there. Whereas if you have a organization, people don't live there. So as a resident, as a realtor, as a part of the Spence Neighborhood Association, I strongly oppose.
For what?
489 Yonge Street.
Okay.
For 35 years.
Any other questions? No? Seeing none, thank you. Who else would like to come up? Name and address for the record, please.
Okay, my name is Travis Unger from 480 Spence Street. My wife and I bought a house. Thank you for this opportunity to speak, by the way, and hello to everyone here. My wife and I bought a house on Spence Street in 1999, and we have been raising our family on the block since then. And as an area rep for the SNA board for my street, I have helped to facilitate residents on the street and staff from Mamaway to communicate about the issue that we're discussing here today. I think it's a rare opportunity that a decision about rezoning can be made with several years of experience to provide information regarding how that will work. That is one of the questions for you to answer. Has the presence of a commercial property on Spence Street been an improvement to this residential area, or would it be more suitable for the activity to take place elsewhere? I would like to share what I've gleaned from listening to those around me and highlight some of the key pieces of the history of this rezoning application from my perspective. And can I ask a question at this point, too? I think there was some forms sent in with people who pre-registered in opposition. Are those part of the package?
Yep,
that you
we
have?
Already have those.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
All the letters are in front of us.
Okay, perfect. And am I allowed to address the crowd? No. Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry, guys. Okay. Mamaway bought 443 from the University of Winnipeg for a fair market value with the intent of running their social service agency on a residential street. This was their preference rather than a necessity, as they turned down other appropriately zoned commercial property to purchase this house. Mamaway learned that about 80% of the block was opposed to them changing this zoning. Mamaway asked for a letter of support from the Spence Neighborhood Association, and one was given on the condition that Mamaway would hold a community consultation. The City of Winnipeg decided in September 2008 to allow Mamaway to continue with their plans for commercial use on the condition that their application for permanent zoning be enacted before 24 months after the adoption of the report by council. Did I get that right? I think that's the right way. And Mamaway has fallen short of what was required of them in this application at three different levels: the city, the neighborhood association, and the residents on the block. Firstly, they dropped the ball with the city. The reason we're here today is because Mamaway did not proceed expeditiously to enact the bylaw within the 24 months given them, and so Mamaway is back to square one with the rezoning application. Not only did they drop the ball with the city, but they also did not meet the requirements for their original letter of support from the neighborhood association. When the date came to do the original community consultation in the Spence neighborhood, Mamaway did not even show up. This time around, SNA is waiting for the results of that consultation before writing a letter in support or against this rezoning application, although it stated in their letter of communication that they would like to see the land convert back to the residential after Mamoy if the committee approves of this zoning change. And then the third level, the residents on the block. Mamoy has simply chosen to ignore the dissenting residents and their concerns, although I will say until this last little bit, but in the years that they've been there, there hasn't been anything. And by doing this, they have shown that they do not see any need to build relationship and rapport with other residents on the block. And this is not an appropriate behavior on a residential street. But this meeting today is not really about Mamoy. It's about a change in zoning. In fact, it's because Mamoy is so good at what they're doing that this zoning is not appropriate. If they had lousy programming and they only had 12 people coming, showing up every day, we probably wouldn't notice it and it wouldn't be as big of an issue. But because they're so successful and they have so many people attending their building, it's kind of like a 7-Eleven has moved onto the block. And I guess I don't feel like that kind of, it's a zoning issue where this type of activity is best in a commercial zoned area and not in a residential area. So common sense would say that our housing shortage in the city, with this housing shortage in our city, to take 8 of the best, most recently renovated rooms on the block that were renovated by the university and turn them into commercial property use is not wise. It doesn't sit right with me that Mamoy has to hire security after they close the doors in the afternoon to chase away people from sleeping on their property. These same people could potentially be living in this building if it was still a home. Here's another point. I don't think Mamoy's success would be hampered one bit by them running their programming in one of the vacant commercial properties on Ellis or Sargent. But their programming has a big negative effect on the lives of the people who call Spence Street home, and as such, I cannot support the rezoning of 443 Spence. For the last 100 plus years, the streets have been residential and avenues commercial, as Maggie just mentioned, and I would like it to continue to be that way, not just for me, but also for my children and for whoever calls Spence home. Thank you. I'd like to, am I allowed to also say some things in response to the initial thing other than what I've prepared? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go a few more. Yeah. Thank you. It was mentioned that there's C2 on the block, and I'm not aware of any C2 unless we go beyond the block that we're speaking of. I'm assuming that might be the university. 74% of the revenue properties, just to mention that those are all residential. They're all rooming houses or apartments. And so that still has a residential use. It's not a commercial use. 95% commercial influence. Well, yeah, as the first person said, we're surrounded by commercial, which would be appropriate for organizations such as Mamoy. And so they wouldn't have to move very far. But really, the whole block, there is no, they are not one of many commercial agencies. They would be the first one. There is no commercial on our block. This would be precedent setting if this was to happen. And another comment that John made was if we push the service away, then there will still be issues. We realize, I've been there since 99, I know the issues of the neighborhood, and I also provide housing, low-income housing for people, and it's exactly the clients of Mamoy that that I have in my housing. It's just not right to put to take residential in our time and change it to commercial. And so, yeah, I oppose the C1 and wish that it would go back to residential. Thank you.
Go ahead. Just checking. You're gone. You're okay. Thank you. All right. Whom would be next? Richard?
Hi, my name is Richard Kaitler. I don't live there. However, I own several properties where I provide housing for people. I did provide a submission. I think you probably have it somewhere. I'm not going to read the whole submission. There is one area here that I do want to focus on, and what it really is going to point at is the way when a commercial development begins, how it evolves. When they initially made their application in 2008, they indicated they were estimating they would have between 50 and 60 people attending programming and drop-ins. The first year that they were, they opened their doors, I did a count. It was just a random day, and I came up with 165 people in one day that attended the facility for a variety of reasons. I'm not sure, but they came to the facility, and this wasn't opening day either. This was just a random day, two or three months after they opened. The following year, I did another count, and I came up with 250. And the year later, I came up with had another day, and it was 325. So what this indicates is, I guess you could say it's their success, but this is really very typical of how a commercial, when you get a commercial enterprise entering into, whether it's business or providing services, or in their case, providing social services, their client base expands, and it grows and grows and grows. John Hutton just told us a similar story where they had where they have basically taken over their building because their expansion has gone to the part where they need the whole building now for the services they provide. So this is how something just grows and grows and grows. So just to go back to the counts, I did just an average of those counts, and it came to roughly 245 to 250 people per day. If you do that over an annual, we're looking at roughly 60,000 people would be attending the facility. I'm not sure how large Brandon or Portage la Prairie is, but it would be quite a few people. Next, I would like to focus on the definition of a social services facility. Sounds very nice. Sounds like it's meant to help people, and that's what it is. However, the scope of it is far more than what I think a residential neighborhood should have to absorb. Services may include, but are not limited to, information and referral services, counseling, skill development, and through aid through the provision of food or clothing, life skills and personal development programs, alcohol, drug, or substance abuse counseling center, and drop-in or activity space. It's very broad. It can mean almost anything. There's really no limits to which one of those services they want to provide. There's no limits to how many clients they would have visiting the facility. So when one seriously considers this in context of compatibility with residential setting, it becomes readily apparent that this is somewhat flawed and probably never should have been located in a residential area. I'm hoping we can correct this. I'm not against Mumaway. I think they do great things. I would like to see them stay in the community. I still am opposed to changing this to a commercial zoning, and these are the things that we have to deal with. And I think if you look at the growth again, you will see where how an organization like this could quickly overtake a space. I think that's about all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Last but not least, Iris. Put your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Iris Ingram. I have several addresses, but I own a property, 504 Spence Street. And I'm here to address the councillors and to all my friends and the audience, like Joan and... Okay. Because it's very difficult for me to be here in the fact that it's being pitted as an organization against residents, and that's not why we're here. I'm here because I can't support that change from a residential to a commercial on Spence Street. As you've heard from all the people just spoke before me, I don't really have anything to add, but it's just not appropriate. When I saw it in the paper, I thought, well, here we go. It's just not the thing to do to put commercial space on, surrounded by residential on Spence Street, and all that goes with it. And we've already lived it. It was a conditional use, as you know, and we've already experienced that. The large numbers are larger, the activities are larger, they're very successful, but that is a huge stress on us. We're already a distressed street to start with. So I'm here to say I hope that you uphold the residential zoning that presently stands, has stood for 100 years. Thank you.
Any questions? Seeing none. Now we have one person. Thank you very much. You can head back up if you like. One person we have. Only one?
Yep.
Yeah, only one for information. Don, if you're good for information or would you like to speak, either, I guess, in opposition, I guess, would be at the point. You can ask questions if you'd like to speak or just listen. Okay, no problem. Thank you. So now we will call back the applicant, Diane, if she wishes to come back down. And again, I'll stress, this is not the time to introduce new information. We're going to take a one-minute break as we get some water here. So then just give us 1 second so Councillor Jabatsky can come back and pay attention. Wishes to respond to anything you've heard so far?
Sure. We're just trying to provide as much information as possible regarding the issue. And I guess to respond to a couple of things, I just want to say that the Mama Wichita Center is absolutely, our whole mandate is all about providing community connections, about community building and bringing community together to be very active and vibrant wherever we are situated, even in Winnipeg. And so I think we're trying to do that at 443 Spence by having a high level of community presence and community activity. So hearing from a few of the speakers, I'm not sure if having a very vibrant, connected presence on the street is good or bad. I think I've heard a little bit of both, but certainly we are all about that. 10 individuals who actually live on Spence Street signed our petition in support of our application, and that, somebody had said that perhaps some of the work we're doing might not contribute to the revitalization of the neighborhood. And I just want to say that through the Neighborhoods Alive program, which is a funding program directly aimed at revitalizing neighborhoods, Mamawi has received funding from Neighborhoods Alive and continues to receive funding from Neighborhoods Alive, the province, to to do the work of revitalization in the neighborhood. And so certainly by receiving those dollars, I would assume that the province, believes in the work that we're doing through the Neighborhoods Alive program. The Spence Neighborhood Association process, I guess maybe to just clarify that a little bit as well. Last time in 2008 when we came forward for our zoning, we did get a support letter from the Spence Neighborhood Association. And as the gentleman earlier said, there were some perhaps conditional support, but the letter was given. And so we had tried to work with different neighbors to work through some of those issues. And I think, again, in the planner's report, some of that action is listed about some of the actions we did take to try and address those concerns at that time. And so when we learned through the miscommunication with the architect company that once we built the property, we no longer had a business relationship with the architect company. So that was just a little misstep on our part. And so the rezoning information got sent to the architect company, who didn't forward it to us. So that's how come we missed the 24-month application process. But so we found ourselves in that situation, and we started going around to the same organizations that supported us last time and asked them if they would provide another support letter. And so we did approach Spence Neighborhood Association again to see if they would provide another support letter. And at that time, I know members of our staff of the Mount Wichita Center had gone to the Spence Neighborhood Association board meeting to ask for that support letter. And at that time, some members of the Spence Neighborhood Board said, no, we need to do this consultation process before we'll provide the letter. So we did have a meeting on June 16th with 9 property owners who were expressing concerns, and they had laid out what their concerns are, and so we remain open to looking at finding solutions to those concerns. And a larger community meeting is currently being planned on July the 13th. So it was just tight timing to get in that meeting before this, but again, we had, I guess, assumed wrongly that SNA would support us again this time because they had last time. And, you know, there are obviously one of our near and dear staff that works at the Mahwahchita Center is on the board of Spence Neighborhood Association, so we made some assumptions that we shouldn't have. I know that there's, again, made this comment about property values, and certainly Mahwah is hoping to help increase property values in the neighborhood, and we have been trying to do some research to try and get our facts in order, and we have noticed that there have been 12 properties bought and sold over the past year on the Spence Street. So we recognize that the commercial activity or the commerce is very active on the street, so we're hoping that that is a positive indication of property values. And again, I think in your packages, in the planner's report, it might indicate that we had purchased the property in the neighborhood of about $200,000, and we've obtained funding and have invested about $700,000 into the property itself to get it to do the renovations so that it's in the condition that it's in right now. And so certainly it's an investment for us, and so we definitely are keeping the curb appeal up and trying to keep the place very active, so because it's an investment for us and we want to maintain that investment. I think as far as some of the comments that were made earlier, that's just some of the information I wanted to convey to you in response to some of that. But again, we could stand corrected here, but we did look at your city assessment rolls, and so on your rolls it does show that there are two C2 properties on the street. So that's where we got our information. So I just wanted to clarify that your city rules say that two properties are C2 properties. So that's where we got that number from. So thank you.
Okay, Smith, any questions? No? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, now Councillor Smith, do you have any questions for the administration?
No, I think it's pretty clear cut.
Just if I may ask one question to the administration. There was suggestion, and I think it's more for clarification, regarding the concept of reverting back a usage. Mm-hmm. So what can you clarify if that is possible or legal?
Yeah, that's a question about reversionary zoning. And it's not possible because zoning runs with the land, so we don't zone based on people, we zone based on land use. But in terms of the administrative recommendation, we are recommending approval, but there are some very stringent conditions. They're actually more stringent than in 2008 in terms of what would be permitted on that property in the event that Mahwah was to sell to someone else. So essentially the zoning agreement says that the only uses that would be permitted there would be social service agency or any R2 use. So the fear that some people have that it could be another commercial use on the street at some point in the future, that would not be possible under the zoning agreement.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Smith. Okay, let's go right there, sir.
Move that the report of the Wendover Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor? Opposed? Carried.
Move that receipt of public representation be concluded.